From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, it's the pop rock trio from York County called Younger Me. The band has a brand new EP out called Coloring Book that continues building on their catalog of high-energy infectious pop hooks, created with their unique sound that features a Rhodes electric piano and a few loop pedals.
It just clicked. We just knew that that's the sound, that's the vibe. There's no need to do the guitar because the Rhodes can fill in like big chords like a guitar and do pretty melodies like a guitar.
Coming up, it's bassist Brandt Imhoff and drummer Ian Hermans from Younger Me. And we're skirting the curtain. Today we welcome Joanna Underhill back to the program for a look at what's going on around the Lancaster theater scene. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Coming up this week on Thursday, April 24th, filmmaker and regular contributor to this podcast, Shauna Stoltzfus, will be at Millersville University to present an episode of her 2013 miniseries called Young Lancaster. Shauna will stick around after the show to talk about the series and participate in an open Q&A. The event takes place at Myers Auditorium at McComsey Hall. That's at Millersville University's main campus over in Millersville. It starts at 7 o'clock, and it's free. Shauna Stoltzfus at Millersville University. Then on Sunday night, April 27th, Series 42 presents honky tonk revivalist J.P. Harris and his band The Tough Choices at Telus 360. It's always a boot stomping good time when J.P. is in town, so you'll want to snag your tickets in advance. The show starts at 8 p.m. It's only 10 bucks. J.P. Harris at Telus 360, 24 East King Street. That's Sunday night, April 27th. It's brought to you by our good friends over at Series 42. And you don't want to miss the Scott Pemberton Trio over at The Fridge for Music Mondays. That's Monday, April 28th. Scott Pemberton is a guitar maniac from Portland, Oregon, and he'll be playing his fourth show in Lancaster in the last year. Music Mondays are an intimate evening of live music at Lancaster's favorite bottle shop and gourmet pizza shop. Tickets are 15 bucks. They are very limited, so grab yours today by visiting The Fridge at 534 North Mulberry Street in Lancaster. Doors at 6:30, show at 7:30. It's the Scott Pemberton Trio live at The Fridge Monday, April 28th. Today on the program, we're skirting the curtain with Joanna Underhill. Joanna is the Vice Chair of Creative Works of Lancaster, a teaching artist at the Fulton's Academy of Theater, and Assistant Director at the Philadelphia Alumni Writers House at Franklin and Marshall College. Each month, she joins us for a look at what's going on in the Lancaster theater scene. We're skirting the curtain on Around the Wood Stove. We're skirting the curtain. Welcome back to the program, Joanna.
I love skirting the curtain.
I do too. It's one of my favorite times of the month.
As it should be.
I want to start with a Wood Stove House production coming up on May 3rd and 4th during the Spring Art Walk weekend. Wood Stove House presents Playgrounds Theater on Site for the second time. Now, the first time we did this was back in 2012. And
it was awesome.
It was
a great experience.
It really turned out well, and I give full credit to Steve Carlson, who produces these events. He came up with this idea, pulled it all together, and we had just a really cool turnout. If you're not familiar with it, the idea is that three short plays are written specifically for three locations around Lancaster City, and the audience gathers at the first location and then moves as a single group to the second location, watches the second play, and then goes to the third location, watches the third play. The whole thing takes about an hour, a little bit more than an hour. It's free and open to the public. And we had about 100 people at each showing in 2012.
Yeah, it was. I said, and I had nothing to do with the production end of that. I was just an audience member, and it was a really great experience.
Cool.
It was. I highly recommend it. It's just a short amount of your time, and I'm sure it will be a beautiful art walk weekend.
Let's just hope. So May 3rd and 4th, the times are still being determined, but there's typically, or there is going to be, two shows on Saturday, I believe 11 and 3, and then one showing on Sunday. We're right now thinking 1 o'clock. But next week's show will be dedicated to Playgrounds. We're going to have a few folks in who are part of the project. We're going to talk about it. So we'll have all the details next week for the specifics. Just mark your calendar to get downtown for Spring Art Walk weekend and check out Playgrounds while you're there. The three locations are St. James Episcopal Cemetery, Binns Park, one of the back corners of Binns Park, I believe, and then right outside of Market on the on Market Street, right outside of Central Market. So we'll have all the details. You can check out the Art Walk website as well. You can link up through the show post. So that's coming up in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, that is well worth skirting the curtain for.
That's it. We can pack it up.
Yeah. But I have a few more things I'd like to tell you about.
Fantastic.
All right.
Since I talked about that one.
Yeah.
Please.
All right. Well, we're back to Ephrata Performing Arts Center doing one of my all-time favorite shows. This one's near and dear to my heart. It's Sunday in the Park with George by Stephen Sondheim. It runs May 1st through May 17th. And I love it because this is the first musical I was ever in.
Really?
And I was in the 1999 production they did out there, which was a huge hit for them. And so they're reviving it, and they actually have the same actor playing George Seurat, Sean Young, super talented. I'm sure he's just gotten better over the years. And Elizabeth Patey is reprising her role as well. Okay. She's got multiple roles in that.
Are you making an appearance?
I will make an appearance in the audience to sit and watch it again. But okay, my schedule did not allow me to try out for that one. But it's a great, interesting play. Act one is a look at the life of George Seurat, the pointillist artist, and his struggles with his model / lover Dot, and it's a lot of negotiating how art fits into your everyday life and how your relationships can suffer when you're that dedicated to your art. And then Act Two takes place in the 20th century, and it's George's great-great-grandson. And he himself is, he's like a video artist now, and he is also struggling with, there's a great number called Putting It Together, and the main catchphrase is art isn't easy. And he more is dealing with the whole commercialism and how do I keep myself paid as an artist, where George was just willing to sit there and paint dots and starve, but create something beautiful and wonderful.
Sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
EPAC does some great work.
They really do.
Just ongoing, like every month.
Yeah. I always say this, and I don't mean to belittle them by reminding people they're community theater, but it's an amazing thing that they do as a community theater, because these are actors who all have day jobs and are not paid to be there.
Right.
It's an incredible, it's like they get a very dedicated group of people to work there and behind the scenes as well.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I highly recommend it.
Cool. What else?
All right, another group of dedicated people in Lancaster County are the people at Theater of the Seventh Sister. And they will be at the Ware Center May 16th and 17th and 18th. And they're doing their original production of Seed of a Nation. And this is the history, it's the founding of Pennsylvania through the Declaration of Independence. Set in Lancaster County, it tells a story of five fictional families. There's a Quaker family, Mennonite, African, Scots-Irish, and Native American, and you actually see how their lives clash and intersect with each other. And it is written by Mary Adams Smith, who's one of the founders of TSS. They did the initial production was in, this is kind of another revival, they did it in 2008. I was in that one as well.
Will you be making an appearance in this one?
I will make an appearance in the audience again.
I love how you reprise your role.
Yeah.
But you alter it just slightly.
Just slightly.
You move from the stage into the seats. That's great.
It helps you keep fresh, I think. Yeah. But this, if anyone saw the one in 2008, that was kind of an epic. It was really long. It was still great, but they've reworked it quite a bit. And this one's just about an hour and 30 minutes.
Okay. And then Creative Works has something coming up.
Creative Works has something coming up. We're very excited about this. We are producing an original work by a local playwright. What Creative Works did, part of the mission is to support local artists, and they asked the Lancaster Dramatist Platform, which is a local playwriting group, if you don't know, to submit plays, but they were blind submissions. There were no playwrights' names on them.
Nice.
And they submitted them to an independent panel. They read them and chose the one they thought should be produced, and that is by Chet Williamson, who is, I think, well-known to Lancaster audiences.
Absolutely.
As an actor as well as a writer of novels. And the play is entitled He Comes for His Books, and that will be at on May 8th, 9th, and 10th at Tell Us, where everything happens.
Tell Us 360, doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but we're excited to be doing a play in that space.
That is cool.
Yeah.
They hosted the 24-hour plays last year. Haven't done a lot of theater in there. I mean, it's typically more of a bar kind of scene, but they're doing classical and new music, a classical and new music series.
Right.
Tuesdays and one Monday night in May. And now doing more theater. So it's they're keeping it mixed up, which is great.
And I think, actually, I was just talking to the playwright, Madeline George, who was a New York playwright, was in town last week, week before, anyway, at FNM. And one of the things she said is exciting to her that she loves is seeing theater done in non-traditional spaces. So and I think TELUS is the perfect venue for that.
Well, it's another busy month in the Lancaster theater scene. Thanks again for checking in. We're skirting the curtain with Joanna Underhill. Thank you, Joanna.
Thank you, Jason.
Learn more about the Fulton's Academy of Theater at thefulton.org and keep up with our friends at Creative Works of Lancaster at their website, creativelancaster.org. Each month, Joanna joins us with a look at all that's happening in the Lancaster theater scene. It's time once again for Playgrounds. Coming up on May 3rd and 4th during Lancaster's Spring Art Walk weekend, Wood Stove House presents Playgrounds, Theater on Site. Produced by Steve Carlson, this exciting theater project will feature three brand new 15-minute plays staged at three outdoor locations in Lancaster City. Showtimes for the event are 11 a.m. or 3 p.m. on Saturday, May 3rd, and 1 p.m. on Sunday, May 4th. Here's how it works. You, the mobile audience, will gather at the first location at the start of the show. That's at St. James Episcopal Church Cemetery, 119 North Duke Street. There you will watch the first play, From Sir With Love, written by Dr. Amanda Kemp. Then the entire audience will move as a group to the second location at Binns Park to watch the second play, Preoccupation, written by Eric Goldstein. After that, you will walk to Central Market to watch the final play called Market Days, a gastro romance with Busker, written by John Rohrkemper. All three plays are brand new and were written specifically for these Lancaster City locations. Playgrounds is free and open to the public, but you can help make it happen with a donation through our Kickstarter campaign up until April 22nd. Visit woodstovehouse.com and click the banner in the top right corner of the page for more information. And don't miss Playgrounds, Theater on Site, Saturday, May 3rd at 11 or 3, and Sunday, May 4th at 1 p.m. at St. James Episcopal Church Cemetery. That's at 119 North Duke Street. This event is an official stop for this year's Lancaster Spring Art Walk. Playgrounds is brought to you in part by Two Dudes Painting in Lancaster. You can find them online at twodudes.com. Younger Me is a three-piece pop rock band from York County who released a self-titled nine-song record back in 2012, but has followed that up with a couple singles and a brand new EP just released this spring called Coloring Book. It's Brant Imhoff and Ian Hermans from Younger Me on Around the Woodstove. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Really glad to have you guys on the show. I've been listening to Younger Me now for a while. I got turned on to you before the latest record, and I think even before the Aquarium single came out. Some friends from York were like, dude, have you heard this band? And I said, no, I went and checked you out online, and I absolutely love what you're doing. It's a really kind of a unique sound, and I'd like to start with that because I think it's the one thing that kind of sets you guys apart from other bands in this area, and that's this your trio, and you have no guitar, which is immediately different from what a lot of bands are doing around here. And then Brant, who's not with us tonight, plays keyboard and is using loop pedals with the keyboard rather than with a guitar or vocals, which is typically what you see loop pedals used for. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about sort of how that came about and, you know, how that sound formed and why you decided, hey, we don't need a guitar player, let's not get one.
Sure. We started writing stuff with guitars, but then Brent would also have the Rhodes like next to him, and then he would like switch off and on between like guitar and Rhodes.
Okay.
And then we wrote Leica off the first record, and it just clicked. We just knew that that's the sound, that's the vibe. There's no need to do the guitar because the Rhodes can fill in like big chords like a guitar and do pretty melodies like a guitar. So
it's really interesting. Like when you, if you don't know, I didn't know, I think, when I first heard it, because sometimes the Rhodes sounds like it's like distorted a little bit, you know, there's some overdrive, so it kind of sounds like there's a guitar. And when I went to see you play for the first time, well, I think someone had mentioned it to me, and then I went to see you play and I was like, wow. Because I expected the sound to drop, like for you not to be able to really do live what you're doing on the record. And to some extent, there's some vocal stuff that isn't there, but for the most part, the sound is still huge.
Yeah.
So it's very impressive. Did you ever think about, after the fact, like, let's bring a guitar in?
Well, we actually had a couple people ask us to play guitar, and it's just not what we want, and we're happy with the chemistry that we have. I think, as far as a band, I think chemistry is the best thing to keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we didn't really want to add in anybody else.
How does that work for you as a drummer, Ian, playing with loops? You're playing in clubs and you're playing in bars, so you don't always have like the best sound systems, and you don't always have, I'm sure, your own guys with you.
Mm-hmm.
So is it challenging?
It works really well, actually. I enjoy it very much. Brent basically works as my metronome in a way.
So he's able to sort of guide the tempo of the song and keep things on track. Because there's got to be hard syncing that stuff up.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of it falls onto Brent, because he's creating the loop. And if he creates an awesome loop, the song's going to be right there where we want it, and it's going to feel really good. Sometimes, it's not perfect, but
not awesome. Sometimes it's less than awesome.
a little bit less awesome, but he does a really awesome job all around. So,
watching him is amazing, and just sort of, keeping up with everything, and you can kind of tell where he's hitting stuff on certain downbeats to just sort of get it going the right way.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting to watch. So, it's always been that way then? Like since Younger Me really became what we know it as today, it's always been the three piece.
Yeah, we have a couple demos on our SoundCloud where there is guitar, but that was the very beginning. And once Leica happened, everything else happened.
Now, you've got a brand new EP out. This is called Coloring Book. Just came out this spring. And I hear something going on in that first song that sounds like maybe a mandolin. Is that true? Or
ukulele.
It's a ukulele. Okay.
Yeah, one night, Brent, we have a Dropbox when we share ideas. He's like, hey, guys, put up something on Dropbox because our friend left his ukulele at his house. And it's just him singing this melody. And
it's cool.
It's probably something he did in like a half hour. And I think it's one of the best things he's ever done.
Agreed.
Will you try to pull that off live with the ukulele? You going to pull it out?
That's up to him to do that. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, it's definitely possible.
It's a cool record. It's five songs. And one thing I was going to ask you about, now there were two singles that came out somewhere along the way between the first self-titled record and this new one. And I kind of expected those songs to be on here too. So what was the kind of thinking behind dropping Aquarium as an example of a single, but not including it on the next record?
Well, I think it's just the way we practice and write. I feel like there's always eras to a group of songs. Like, they all feel like they're part of one thought and it's cohesive. And if we've like Aquarium and Swimming Pool and some other ideas were separate and not like the rock and roll songs of the EP. So we just feel like they don't belong in it.
And
they belong somewhere, but not within that group of recordings.
Well, and today it really doesn't matter. I mean, people are going to put it in their computer, download it, and it's just going to be part of the ongoing
shuffle.
The ongoing catalog, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's better to not just throw songs on releases just to make them longer.
I agree with that.
It can throw it off.
Yeah, I
agree.
Like,
there's no reason why you can't release two songs or 20,
That's right.
Long as they work together.
Well, let's have a listen to one of the songs from the Coloring Book EP. This is Kite by Younger Me, my guests today on Around the Wood Stove.
2 days a perfect day to get blown away. Tie the ribbon tight, sew silk wings to my spine. Let all the string send me to the
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Joining me today on the program, it's Brent and Ian from Younger Me. It's a rock trio from York County who recently released a new EP called Coloring Book. And Coloring Book, this is a follow-up to a couple singles that came out in the last year. And I think right after I first got turned on to you guys, you released a single called Aquarium, which we played at the top of this segment. It's one of my favorite songs, one of my favorite Younger Me songs. And one of the cool things about it is a video that was released shortly thereafter. That I got to see, and I just recently learned, Brant, that you're an artist and do all that work. How is that an extension of what you're doing musically? Like, how does your art play into this band?
Well, I also write lyrics too, so a lot of my lyrics, I think, end up being visual based, or there's something visual within my head that inspires me to write the words, which then applies to making a video or an image for stuff. And with Aquarium, it's being personified through a fish, and our existence that within a fish tank is kind of similar to us as humans. And then I had a fish tank from art school. I did a project, and my parents have a pond. So I just had this idea of I got phone letters at Michael's art store, and
is that right?
Anchored them in with fishing line and filled the tank with like 30 small fish or so. And
just there you go.
Yeah, took video, and then we did live video in the basement and just compiled it. And
that's really cool to hear it kind of deconstructed like that, because, you know, I don't think about...
It's very literal as far as the song. I mean,
Yeah, but I don't think about how their videos are made a lot of times, but yeah. Just saying, you know, you got these letters from Michaels. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I got the letters from Michaels. I bought a $60 camera off eBay that's underwater, so it's like super low budget.
Yeah, it came out great. Is that a thing that you really look forward to with the music, is creating videos?
I mean, I would love to, but that one took me 6 months.
Wow.
With a lot of time off because I was so drained.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to. It's really hard to fit time in.
And you're doing that yourself, or the other guys in the band, you know, contributing to that?
As far as the video, besides playing the live performance, no.
Yeah, that's your thing.
And maybe I kind of make it my thing, and I don't maybe allow them to have input into it. But I feel like it also kind of makes it easier. I mean, we all have different roles.
Yeah, right.
Certainly makes it easier for me.
But you're not a videographer, Ian?
Not really.
I mean, they can all have input. It's just right. So far, naturally, it hasn't.
Yeah,
it's been me doing stuff. I don't know.
That's good stuff. I'll link up to some of those on the show post, the two videos that you had mentioned, Aquarium and Swimming Pool. Let's get back to this coloring book EP for a few minutes. I'd like to hear about how it was made. I find it interesting how bands are making records these days. So tell me a little bit about the process of making the album.
So with this, we had scratch tracks as far as the roads, I think, simple stuff.
Yeah,
and then we did it live. We played each song 10 times until each of us felt like we had something in there.
Where did you record it?
In the basement at Brent's house.
Oh, literally, like where you jam normally?
Yeah. Since we were 17, we've been doing basement recordings, so it's kind of what Brent has been able to perfect.
It sounds fantastic. I mean, it's just amazing what you can do, you know, in those kinds of found spaces. Today, I mean, I've been around for a while, yeah. And you know, going back 20 years, man, it was just impossible to get anything beyond kind of a rough demo,
yeah,
in your house. And it's just amazing to me when I think about all the music that I listen to on a regular basis that is literally made in a house, in a basement, you know, or recorded live somewhere. Just really cool. According to the liner notes, it was also though mixed and mastered by someone else. Who's that? Who took care of that?
TJ Lipple.
Local?
No, he's in DC.
Oh, okay.
But he's in a band called Aloha that we're big fans of, and then we found out that he does freelance mixing and mastering. So we had the first album mastered by him, and then he said he really liked the music, and so we said, "Would you want to work with us as far as mixing or recording us?" And he said yes, and we had him mix and master it.
That's great to find that connection.
Which is the first time we've ever had somebody else.
Is that the first time you had someone else mix it?
Yeah, besides Brent
right.
doing everything.
How did you feel about it?
I was excited about it. I mean, his portfolio.
Yeah.
I listened to a lot of it, and I wasn't worried. And
I think there's something really good about another set of ears mixing a record.
Yeah.
Even if you feel like you can do it yourself, and you can... But I just really feel like that something special gets pulled out of it when you have somebody else who takes that role.
Yeah. He's also worked with bands that are somewhat similar, and Aloha's somewhat similar, so that also helps.
Let's take another listen. This is a track called Air Guitar from the Coloring Book EP. It's my guest, Younger Me, on Around the Wood Stove. Stove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Wood Stove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Wood Stove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. Now back to the conversation with Brandt and Ian from Younger Me. They're a York County band. They have a brand new EP out. It's called Coloring Book. And they're my guests on Around the Wood Stove. I just wanted to ask you guys something. We were talking about the sound and how you don't have a guitar. You know, you've got, it's a trio, bass, Rhodes, loop pedals on the keyboard, and drums. How is that received in Central Pennsylvania? Which is, I mean, Central Pennsylvania is kind of, you know, there are parts of it that are really Americana. There are parts of it that are really, you know, rock, like almost hard rock. How have you guys been received in this region in terms of, you know, coming into a room and being like, as we're doing something completely different?
I mean, I think we received pretty well. A lot of times after playing, people will come up to us and genuinely, you know, say how much they enjoyed it. And everybody says it's catchy.
It's very catchy. I give you that. The music, I mean, the songs are just the real hooky. So.
Yeah, I mean, they say it's a real earworm. They get it stuck in their head, and that's possibly because there's loops coming at them, you know, nonstop for a whole song. But
so what's the future for Younger Me? Where do things go from here?
Right now we're working on a new album. We have a ton of ideas.
It's great that you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you just, when the idea strikes, right, you just jump in and start doing it.
Mm-hmm. Write more and play more.
Yeah, write more, play more. Get better at juggling everything.
Yeah.
Get better at the business side of it, hopefully. Because that's changing a bit recently, I've noticed online. It's getting harder.
It's always evolving these days. I mean, you just have to kind of, you know, try to keep up with it.
I'm also illustrating for a blog called The Wild Honey Pie in New York. So I'm going to take full advantage of what they offer too.
Yeah, sounds great.
As far as opportunities.
So where are you guys going to be playing here coming up in the next weeks and months?
We're playing at the Lizard Lounge below the Chameleon Club on the 25th of April. And then also the 3rd of May, Rockwood Music Hall in New York City.
Nice.
And then again on the 9th, we're at Milk Boy in Philly.
Well, it's a real pleasure getting a chance to sit down and chat with you a little bit about everything you guys have going on. Congratulations on a great new EP, the Coloring Book EP. Where can we find you online?
YoungerMeMusic.com.
And I know you're on Spotify because I listen to the catalog there.
Bandcamp, SoundCloud.
Just all the places, right?
Yeah.
Google Younger Me.
We're on everything, hopefully. No,
Google Younger Me Band, because if you do just Younger Me, you'll get a lot of other weird stuff, too.
Okay.
I think we're moving up in Google.
That's good to know. Well, thanks, guys, for taking a few minutes to chat with me about it.
Thanks a lot.
You can find out more about today's program by visiting the show post at our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of the program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced by the Wood Stove House and Triforce Studios in Lancaster, PA. Check out Triforce online at triforceproaudio.com and find us online at woodstovehouse.com.